alone, too.
Wasn't as bad as I anticipated.
More people scurrying in and out. How many people use glass wipes? Oh, that's another. Bannerman, show him your teeth. You're on for Colgate, aren't you? You still working for those people? Have you ever heard the commercial on that show? Singing commercial? Yeah. Brush your teeth with Colgate's. Oh, Colgate's dental cream. It cleans your teeth.
What a toothpaste! What a toothpaste!
Scare the fangs right out of your mouth. I usually keep mine in my pocket until the commercial is over.
Groucho's microphone, all right.
Did he tell you to keep your trap shut when they... just the coat there, old girl. I don't go any further with it. There's some distractions, you know, that are just too much for me. Did you ever get so much instruction from any show? It's like getting brief or going over the top.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is spoon. S-P-O-O-N.
Really? You bet your life!
The DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America present Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood. And here he is, the one, the only...
Groucho, sorry, my name's Yasmin Khan. Thank you. Well, here I am again with $1,000 for one of our couples tonight. George Fenneman, who gets first whack at it?
Just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected a bouncer from a dance hall and an accountant. And here they are, Mr. Alan Landman and bouncer Bill Graves. Meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, gentlemen. You bet your life. And if one of you says the DeSoto Plymouth secret word, he wins $100 instantly. It's a common word, something you'll find around the house. I don't know about your house. You'll find it around mine. A bouncer and a bookkeeper, eh? That's quite a combination. Mr. Bill...
Graves.
Bill Graves, huh? You're a bouncer at a dance hall?
Yes, sir.
Prove it. Let me see you bounce around it. Where you from, Bill?
I'm from within a stone's throw of the Churchill Downs in Lexington, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do? You throw stones around there?
Oh, right. Yes, sir.
Right.
And
near
a lot of hot air.
A lot of hot air. Right near the racetrack.
Right near the racetrack.
You must have seen Man of War down there.
I did. I have seen Man of War, and I've bet some money on him.
Well, you must be loaded, then.
I'm loaded to the gills.
Let me see your gills, huh? Why did you leave Louisville? Did you get bounced?
I wanted to come out to California. I had heard so much about it as a child. I thought it was the greatest place in the world, and I came out here, and I've never changed my mind. That's 49 years ago.
Well, I'm sorry you haven't... Glad you haven't been disillusioned, huh? Bookkeeper, Alan Landman?
Yes, sir.
I'll just call you Bookie, yeah?
No.
You're not a Bookie, huh? But I better call you Bookkeeper, is that right?
No, that's not right either. I'm an accountant.
You're very hard to please, aren't you? I'll call you Count, is that all right? Or Int. I was Int, huh? Tell me, Count, what do you do as an accountant?
Oh, I make income tax returns out for people, give them general advice on their financial statements, and audit their books.
Keep books, and I'll just call you Bookie, huh? And if you get raided, don't come running to me. Where are you from, Bookie?
I was born within a stone's throw of the Fulton Fish Market in New York.
Your parents were big rocks, I take it, huh? You were born near the fish market, huh?
That's right.
And how long did you flounder around there before you... Al Smith was born around there, wasn't he?
Oh, that's right. Including the Derby.
Yeah, well, I don't know where the Derby was born. The Derby was born in Lexington, wasn't it? That's another Derby. What's the most common bookkeeping error you find in your work, Mr. Landman?
I would say transposition.
Well, you'll have to say more than that.
I mean...
That left me as cold as those stones where you were born with it.
I mean transposition of figures. That is, writing $16,489.12 as $16,498.21. Transposing the figures in sequence.
Well, I lost you a long time ago. You can say anything you want as far as I'm concerned. Once they get around those decimal points, I'm dead, huh? And, Jersey Bounce, tell me, where do you work?
I work at the Roseland Roof, 833 South Spring Street.
And, what is Roseland Roof?
It is the finest taxi dance hall in the United States.
I didn't know taxis could dance, huh?
We have some two-legged taxis that dance very well, sir.
Well, they do, huh?
Yes, they do. Some night, if you're off and you have a moment to spare...
I'm off every night, huh?
I'd like to have you come down and visit us.
Well, I'd be very happy to, huh? They strap a meter on me, I suppose?
We welcome you with open arms and see that you have a lot of fun.
Well, I may take you up on that.
You do that. We might possibly find you a nice little girl down there that you could marry if you're not married. I told that to a man once before, and he said, I'm not married. I've been sick all my life. That's the reason I left this way.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry you went so far with that invitation, huh? The first half of it, you had me, huh? What do you do at the Roseland Roof, Mr. Graves?
I'm the manager, the elevator operator, the policeman, and anything there is to be done around the place, I try to do it.
You have a paper route in your spare time?
I do.
How long a day do you work, Bill?
I'm a union man. I work 8 hours in the morning and 8 hours at night.
Did you figure that joke out on your boss's time? Or... I trust you wouldn't waste your own time on that.
No, not on that.
Feeble wheeze, eh? Bookie, wake up. How much is 2 and 2?
4.
Just checking, that's all. Now tell me, Turkey Trot, how many girls work at your dance emporium?
Between 75 and 100.
Those are pretty loose figures to have on a dance floor. Aren't you afraid they'll fall apart?
Not the figures we have.
They're all pretty tight.
They're
figures.
They're all very nice.
You handle figures, too, don't you, Alan?
Yes, sir.
Not those kinds.
No, not that type.
Never?
Off duty, I do.
The figures you handle don't lie, I take it, huh?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
You don't have to. I just said it, huh? What would you say?
Well, I would say that my figures don't lie, but I couldn't vouch for other people's.
Just goes, you can't tell a bookkeeper by his cover. Now, just what kind of a bookkeeper are you?
I'm not a bookkeeper, Groucho. I'm an accountant.
Well, what's the difference between a bookkeeper and an accountant?
Well, an accountant is the guy who tells the bookkeepers how to keep their books.
Oh, I see. What kind of bookkeeping systems are in use today?
Oh, there are two systems, the single entry and the double entry system.
Mm-hmm. Well, give me an example.
Well, the double entry system is the most common one. Let's assume that you're in the jewelry business and you buy about $10,000 worth of diamonds. Mm-hmm. You would debit purchases for $10,000 and credit accounts payable for $10,000. That's the double entry system.
Not me. If I had $10,000 in jewels, I'd be in Montreal in the morning. Huh? Now, Bookie, how much is 3 and 2?
5.
That's right. Just wanted to see if you were on your toes, that's all. You ever run across cases of simple fraud? What's a good way to skin a widow out of her mite, for example?
Well, you pad the figures on an expense account.
Steady now, then. Well, you're a rascal, that's what you are. You pad the widow's figures? Well, how do you catch a crook like that?
Oh, you just use your logic. For example, if a guy submitted an expense account showing that he was in the Sahara Desert and that he entertained some people at a nightclub there for $187.50,
Is there a nightclub in the Sahara Desert?
Not that I know of. That's exactly
this
the...
This is just a hypothetical case.
Yes, sir.
Well, couldn't you make it a nightclub where there happens to be a nightclub? You mean this widow can only get cheated in the Sahara Desert?
She can choose her own site.
You mean it would take a lot of sand to skin her, huh? Now, tell me, does anything exciting ever happen to an accountant?
Well, something exciting happened to me once. I got into an airplane conducting 5 wooden packing cases that looked as if they might have contained cans of beans, and they actually had $1 million in cold, hard American cash in them.
And how did you find out?
I knew they were there all the time.
And did you have a gun with you?
Yes, I did. I was in the Army as a dispersing officer, and I had a .45 strapped to my side.
Oh, I see. Have you ever had anything else strapped to your side?
Some mustard plaster.
Well, there's worse things than that to be stuck with, you know. Now, tell me, Bouncer, in your job, does anything unusual ever happen?
Oh, not a great deal. We run along about the same all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are your hostesses like? Are they all good dancers?
They're all very nice dancers, all nice young ladies between 21 and 25 years of age and between 110 and 115 pounds.
It's only 5 pounds difference, huh?
That's all.
Pretty skinny, aren't they? How tall are these girls, mostly?
Average about 5 feet 6.
Do you measure them yourself?
I measure most of them, yes, sir.
And if they're not up to specifications, you throw them back in the water?
Back down in the elevator.
Have your girls always been taxi dancers, or did they have different backgrounds?
A great many of them have been waitresses, and a lot of them are girls that have been married and had trouble at home, and they have to get out and support.
What kind of
children.
Trouble? What do you mean, trouble at
Domestic
home?
Domestic trouble.
Who has trouble at home?
One or two of them.
They do, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what kind of trouble?
Well,
the husbands complain about the cooking, I suppose?
About the cooking and about the baking and about John not bringing home his salary and John coming home with a load of peaches on that he shouldn't have and so forth and so forth and so forth.
John shouldn't bring peaches home. Should leave him on the corner and come home alone, huh? How much do you charge for a dance at your abattoir?
12 cents a minute.
How much?
12 cents a minute.
How long does the dance last? A minute?
1 minute,
just 12
sir.
Cents? Why do they drag him out so long? I guess you do the two-step there or you get chucked out, don't you? That's all they have time for, isn't it?
Oh, they have plenty of time.
Suppose I was doing a rumba and I just barely got my hip out of joint when the minute was up. Would it cost me another 12 cents to get my hip back in shape again?
No, we'd wait till you got it back, sir. We're very considerate.
See, well, how about the $4 I'd have to give to the chiropractor?
I guess we'd have to worry about that in your case.
I'd have to pay that myself.
Yes, sir.
Why are your dances only a minute long?
Well, we can give the people more for the money and give them more dancing.
That's a fairly shifty answer there.
I'm a Scotchman.
You get a faster turnover, is that
faster
it?
Faster turnover, is it? Yes, sir.
They must turn over like a propeller in your place. What are your customers like in this squirrel cage that you operate?
We have merchants and doctors, lawyers, truck drivers, and all people from all walks of life.
Policemen, too, I think.
Yeah, policemen and firemen.
Ordinary people, I
guess. Ordinary people that you find just like you and me.
Well, you won't find anybody more ordinary than I am. Although I've never been a policeman. Now, do these people pop in just to dance for 1 minute? Why do they come in, Bill?
They come in because they're lonesome, and they come in probably for a minute out of curiosity, but they stay the whole evening and back next night. The first moment we open the doors, they're back again.
Well, do they usually pick out one specific girl and tie
her? Some have one girl, some have three or four girls they'll dance with in an evening, and others they dance with the whole number all the way down the line.
Mm-hmm. And why do they... Some of them don't dance at all, I presume, huh?
Some come in and sit around night after night, and all they do is dance the free dancers.
What night are the free dancers? What do they talk about, the ones that don't dance? Have you any
notion? They talk about general subjects, not what you think.
How do you know what I'm thinking? My guess is that'd be talking about the price of coffee or something interesting like that, huh? Do the any of these victims ever marry the girls?
Frequently they do. We have had some very happy marriages.
Do they come back after that and dance then?
Yes, they come in and visit with us and bring their husbands in, and one girl brought in 6 children one night. Steps up like this.
Did you have to buy a ticket for each one?
No, as long as old employees, we welcome them in. We're very glad to see them come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're doing a nice job down there. How many fights do you have to stop in a night on an average?
Since I've been with Roseland for the last 20 years, we've never had a fight in the place.
Now, what do they do, go out in the alley and slug each other?
I worked at a place one time where we had to close on Sundays to pump the blood out of the cellar.
You don't happen to remember what they did with the old blood, do you?
I think they painted the ceiling of a theater with it.
Oh, I see. Well, let's get back to you, Bookie. Quick, what? How much is 1 and 1?
2.
Sorry, the answer is 14. I was thinking 1 and 1 rabbits. Bookie, you're fired. Huh? Well, you two make an extremely interesting couple, and we're happy to have you with us tonight. You're both experts on figures. Now, in just 1 minute, you're going to try for the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question.
Just a week ago, the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America introduced the brilliant new DeSoto, the finest car that has ever borne the name DeSoto. It's a completely new model from bumper to bumper. From its beautiful new front grille to its wider rear end, here is the car that is styled for comfort as well as beauty. Every detail, from DeSoto's rear window, which was made bigger and lower to provide greater visibility, to its smartly styled new steering wheel, from its bigger, softer pedal action brakes, to its beautiful new fenders that permit easier changing of tires, here truly is a new car in every sense of the word. A car bringing you richness of line that your family will boast of for many months to come. Economy of operation that your pocketbook will appreciate. Drive this great new DeSoto just once, and you'll thrill to it as thousands already have. Your DeSoto Plymouth dealer will arrange to have you drive it at your convenience.
Save a bookkeeper and a bouncer will get the chance at $1,000. Fenham, and tell them the rules of You Bet Your Life.
Each of our 3 couples has $20. They bet as much of that 20 as they want on each of 4 questions. The couple that earns the most money gets a chance at the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question at the end of the show. Our other 2 couples are in a waiting room offstage, so they don't know what's happening out here.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You select the famous dates in United States history as your category. Okay?
That's right, sir.
All right, here's your first question. You have $20. How much will you bet?
$3.
No, let's make it
here's
10.
Here's a fellow level near a racetrack, huh?
He said make it 10.
Make it 10. Is that okay
make
with you,
Bill?
Make
it 10 is fine.
Okay, now, we don't want any arguments. What happened on October 12th, 1492?
Columbus discovered America.
You set it right on the nose, Bill.
And we're off to a great start, Groucho, with $30.
Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. How much of the $30 will you bet?
Let's bet 25. 20.
Not $20, no. I have to buy my wife a pair of shoes. Make it 15. Make it $20 on all right.
Well, you're easily convinced there.
Yes.
What happened on December 7th, 1941?
That's a Pearl Harbor.
That's right. Japanese attack Pearl Harbor.
They're climbing. They have $50.
You're climbing. You got 50 smackers. Here's your third question. How much of the 50 are you going to go for?
For you.
Well, we take... this time we'll plunge a little. We bet $35.
Sold.
You're going to bet $35. Okay. All right. What happened? What happened September 2nd, 1945?
1945?
Huh?
Was it VJ Day? VJ Day?
Do you agree with that? Yes,
you agree
I do.
With that? Well, that's right.
Now we have $85, Groucho.
Well, your wife has got shoes now. She might even have stockings out of this. Now you got $85. Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the 85 will you risk?
Let's try 75.
$75.
$75. What far-reaching event happened on October 24th,
1929?
The crash. The crash is right.
And they wind up with a grand total of $160.
Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Now, don't run away. You still might be high tonight and get a crack at the big question.
Groucho, the secret word is still spoon.
I know that, George.
Perhaps our next couple will say it, too. Just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected a chiropodist, Dr. Theodore Dale, and his partner is a housewife, Mrs. Sue Prosen. And here they are. Folks, meet Groucho Marx.
I can't meet him until they come out, huh? All right, welcome, kids. Welcome to You Bet Your Life. And if one of you says the secret word, he wins $100 instantly. It's a common word, something you find around the house. A chiropodist and a housewife, eh? Mrs. Sue Prosen?
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you from, Sue?
Boston.
Boston?
Mm-hmm.
What is your... what part of Boston?
I don't know. I left when I was too young.
How old were you when you left?
About a year old.
How long ago was that?
30 years ago.
You must be around 30 years old, huh?
Only till tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations. And what is you're married?
Yes.
What does your husband do for a living?
Building contractor.
Building? What does he build?
Houses.
What
stores.
Kind of houses?
Good ones.
Good ones? I mean, big ones? Little ones?
Anything they can afford.
Anything he can afford?
If they can afford.
Oh, where is this? Where is he building?
All over Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. And Doc Dale, is that the way?
That's correct.
What kind of a name is that? Is that Swiss?
Well, it's leftover Piccadilly.
I had some leftover Piccadilly tonight. That isn't my name. What do you mean, leftover Piccadilly? It's English?
Way back, the family's name was Piccadilly, and this was left of it.
Well, I don't see how you got that reduced to
it. Well, I don't see it either.
No. Well, you can't, because it's in front of you, but I... Where are you from, Doc?
Redondo Beach, California.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get hit by one of those comas down there?
Oh, no.
Are you married?
Oh, yes.
You get hit by other things. What is a chiropodist? Is that anything like a Rotarian?
No. A chiropodist is a doctor who treats the feet, ankles, and the calf.
Well, how do you treat a calf? Do you buy him a... do you buy him a bale of hay, or...
Oh, no. Among other things, we massage.
You massage a calf?
Mm-hmm.
Must be a great treat for the calf. You're a foot doctor, eh?
That's right.
How long is a foot doctor?
Oh, about 12 inches sometimes.
Mrs. Prosen, how did you meet your husband?
Mother wanted to borrow a hammer.
You met him where?
My mother wanted to borrow a hammer.
Your mother went to borrow a hammer?
Uh-huh. Yes. And she borrowed it from a friend, and he had a son, only I didn't know he had a son.
Who had a son, the hammer?
No, it's very simple, really. The friend had a hammer. The friend had a hammer, and he had a son also.
Was it a claw hammer, or...
Gee, I don't know. Is there a difference?
Of course, there's all kinds of hammers.
Oh.
Now, what happened? Your mother needed a hammer, and she sent you over to get the hammer?
No, she called up her friend and said, please... loan me a hammer, and...
And that's how you nailed him?
Yes. He came over and brought the hammer, and I wanted to get a dog. And when
what's that?
I wanted to get a dog, and when
instead
I saw...
Instead of a hammer, you mean?
Well, she wanted the hammer. I didn't.
Oh.
But when I saw this guy drive up, and he didn't have a very nice car, and I thought, well, I could ask him to take me for the dog because my boyfriend had a new car, and I couldn't ask him to take me for the dog.
Why?
Because he wouldn't let a puppy in his car. It might wet. I asked this fellow if he'd take me to get the puppy, and he did. And on the way home, he said, if you married me, you could have me and the dog. And I said, well, for the dog's sake, I'd think about it. Well, when we got home, the landlady met us at the apartment, and she said, you can't have a dog here.
Just a hammer, huh?
Yes. So, very simple, really. He took the dog home with him. And then the next day, I saw him quite accidentally. I was on my way to school. And he
on your way to school?
Yeah, I was going to school then. Oh. And he asked me if I, what I was taking. I told him I was studying economics. And he said, well, can you figure out budgets? And I said, oh, sure. He said, well, can you figure a budget for me? Sure, I could figure a budget. So I did. He said, could two people live on that? So I could figure it again so they could.
Pretty cagey level, wasn't he, huh?
Oh, he's very clever.
It's a very romantic approach.
You're kind of cute, though.
And then when did he say he loved you, huh?
Well, then...
This was after you settled the budget, then?
Well, a little bit after that, yes. Mm-hmm. He said, well, can two live on that budget? And I said, yes. He said, well, then why don't we? So I said, you're kidding? He says, I don't think so. And I said, well, okay, but it took the family 2 months to arrange the wedding.
And you were pretty impatient, huh?
Yes.
Had no place to put the dog, I suppose.
No, I didn't want it. But we didn't get the dog. It got lost.
Tell me, I want to ask you one question. What happened to this first Schlemiel that you were going with? Huh? This brand new car that wouldn't let any livestock in it. What happened to him, huh?
He's still got the car.
Huh?
He's still got the car.
He's still got the car and that's
yeah.
all, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a hammer and a dog and a husband? And a
no dog.
No
just
dog.
A cat.
Now you got a cat?
Very lovely one.
Kids, too?
Yes, two of them.
And only one cat, huh? You ought to try to get another cat, huh?
That's what cats worry about.
Either that or do away with one of the kids, huh? One cat is not enough to go around for two children.
Oh, yes, they can eat the pole.
The big cat?
It's a big cat.
Well, it's a very romantic story you told me. Doc, how did you meet your wife? Did you have a hammer in your hand at the time?
Oh, no, but I had a...
Was she going around with some foot pad and you rubbed her out? What happened?
Well, I was, as a student, I
I'll
was...
I'll call you Piccadilly, huh?
Piccadilly.
Piccadilly, huh? I picked a dilly one night. I had one of the worst times I ever had in my life. Yeah. Well, anyway.
I was a student. And,
you were a stooge where?
A student.
A student?
At the foot clinics of New York, and my wife was a patient. And she was kind of cute at the time, and I... and,
She'll appreciate the way you qualified that compliment. She'd just be crazy about that.
Well, she had... she looked kind of nice, and I... was playing basketball the next day and asked if she cared to come along, and of course she assented.
She was in the hospital?
No. Yeah. This was a clinic people come in and walk out.
Oh.
And
they hope.
Well, I suggested that being that she had so much trouble with her feet, she has been having trouble with a toe for several years. And I suggested that...
Did you write her any footnotes? Or
no. No. And out of that time...
Well, up to this time, you'd just seen her feet, is that right?
That's right.
You took potluck with the rest of it, I suppose.
Well,
you two have two of the most romantic stories I've ever heard. Pussycat and an old car and a foot doctor. Go on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, I suggested casually and quite seriously that it might be easier for her and financially, a lot easier if she'd marry a chiropodist. Well, I saw her a couple of times, and then about a year later, I met her again casually, and...
Was she back at the clinic?
No. She's on a I was on a Fifth Avenue bus, and she was walking by the Empire. No, it was just on a block from where the Empire State Building is. I got off the bus and said hello, and...
Were you going to get off there anyhow, or are you just crazed with this...
desire to look at her toe again.
You were just toe happy in those days.
Quite so.
Instead of too happy, you were toe happy. Well, anyway.
Well, we went on from there, and I...
What do you mean you went on from there?
Well, seeing each other, and the suggestion that I made that she marry Caropodus carried on until this day.
How long you been married?
13 and a half years.
Worked out very well, huh?
Well, sure did.
Maybe that's the way it should be. Most fellas, they go around looking at a girl's face, you know. Maybe should they examine their feet, because they're... In most cases, their feet are not made up. You know what you're getting, anyway. Now, tell me, Hotfoot, how did you, how did you happen to become a chiropodist? Were you at the foot of your class in school, or...
Well, I... started at the foot and thought that this profession might work my way up.
You were eventually going to become a dentist, is that?
Become successful.
Oh, I see. I don't hear very well, you know. Sometimes I get confused. But what kind of feet do you treat?
Any kind.
Any kind of feet? I wish you'd come over to my house. My piano is getting pigeon-toed to late. But what's the chief reason that people come to your office?
Their feet hurt.
Well, you ask a silly question, you get a silly answer. You mean people have trouble with their dogs, is that it?
That's right.
And you take care of their dogs?
I sure do.
Well, then, actually, you're a veterinarian, huh?
No, I'm a therapist.
What's the matter, Doc? Didn't you like that joke?
Oh, I thought, well, it's corny.
What was that?
Corny.
Corny, corny joke. Well, you ought to know. You're an expert on corns. Mrs. Prosen, you pussycat lover, you. Do you have any trouble with your dogs?
No dogs, just
no,
cats.
No, I see. I knew if I talked to a chiropodist, sooner or later I'd put my foot in it. I mean, do your feet give you any trouble?
Well, they did when I was little. They had to lengthen them. My legs, not my feet.
They lengthen your legs?
Uh-huh. Yes, really.
What was the matter?
The tendons didn't grow, so they had to lengthen them so that I would get a little taller.
Well, how did they know how tall you were going to be, huh?
Well, they were hoping.
They were groping, did you say?
I think so.
Do you have any corns or bunions or any kind of foot swelling or any kind?
No.
Nothing at all. Now, what about you, Arch of Triumph? That's you. What should she do for her feet? Suppose she had some trouble with her feet. This is purely a hypothetical question, of course, because the girl's feet are obviously perfect.
Well, I can't tell unless I examine them, but she might rest them.
Can you walk on your hands, Mrs. Brooks? Well, what do you think is the chief source of her trouble if she had, let's say she had arch trouble of some kind?
Well, I wouldn't know, but the average woman wears her shoes too short.
Well, don't they have holes in the front that poke their toes through? Doesn't that help, huh? Why do women wear shoes that don't fit?
Well, I think the vanity gets the best of them.
You mean a smart woman's brains are in her feet, huh?
And they, wearing the high heels, they go out of plumb, the posture. Goes out of plumb.
What do you mean, out of plumb?
Well, normal posture to be well, considered well.
Do you put the calf to posture, I mean, if there's some trouble? I mean, if there's trouble with the calf.
Well, that would be part of being out of plumb.
I see. In other words, they go plumb crazy. Is that what you said? I went plumb crazy last summer one day. I ate 27 plums. Huh? What are the most common foot ailments?
Well, the most common we'd see would be Hallomai Mole, Hallomai Durum, and Hallux
Hallomai
Valgus.
Hallomai Mole, huh? Yeah? Hello, my Molly. Hello, my daddy. Well,
Joseph Howard sang that, and I wonder who's kissing her now, huh? You mean that's a foot disease? Molly, huh? Well, they're lying something every night here, huh? Why do so many people have foot trouble?
Well, so many people have foot trouble because a lot of it's traced back to childhood. Now in schools, and they'll examine everything about a child but the feet. And very few parents will take the trouble to take their children to have their feet examined. We find that 60% of children have foot trouble.
Is under this just teenage, a plug for your racket, or are you actually on the square with this? Huh?
Yes, I'm on the square with it.
You look like a fairly obvious, honest man. Do you get many jobs straightening out bow legs?
Rarely.
Rarely. That could be fun, though. Huh?
It might.
Well, as far as you're concerned, bow legs are few and far between, huh? Now, Doc, let's talk about men for a moment. They don't wear high heels, and they have foot troubles. How come?
Well, if they wore shoes that were big enough, like policemen do.
So all they need, just wear them big enough, huh?
If I wore policeman's shoes, they'd pinch my feet.
What does hola malay mean, or whatever? Well, what'd you call it, huh?
Hello, mamale, that's something.
Hello, mamale. Right back where I started from. Isn't that an island in the Pacific? I mean?
No, it's a small, soft corn between the toes.
Oh. How gross. How long did you say you've been a veterinarian, huh?
Well, not a veterinarian. I'm a chiropodist. This is my 20th year at it.
Can you tell anything about a person just by looking at his feet?
Hardly.
Can't you even tell if he's got a bunion?
Well, I thought I saw him.
Do you ever run into any unusual situations, Doc?
Well, the other day, a woman came in with one shoe, only took one shoe and stocking off, and I suggested she take the other one. She said, "My gosh, I didn't think you'd want to look at the other one. I only washed one."
And you say you've been at this for 20 years? What fortitude, huh? I've often wondered, is walking barefoot beneficial to the person, the feet?
Well, if everybody walked barefoot, most of the time half the foot troubles would disappear.
And so would half the shoe stores. In this town, you can see enough heels without exposing the feet. Well, why is going barefoot beneficial, Doc?
Well, it gives an opportunity for all the structures of feet to work without constriction, restriction, and being bound up.
What about people that have bad arches? Should they walk around in bare feet, too? Does that
Well, that would help in a proper attitude. They go to their foot doctor, and he can advise them as to
now you're kind of quibbling, aren't you? Indians have flat feet, don't they? And they walk around in their bare feet, don't
Not
they?
All of them. Certain tribes do.
Say, certain tribes? What kind? Which tribes?
Well, I haven't done research on that sufficiently.
Well, besides wearing shoes that don't fit, why do most people have foot trouble? Because of childhood, neglect?
Well,
are people on their feet more nowadays than they formerly were?
Well, a lot of people wear improper shoes. They don't sit right.
What about the body? Do you consider it a good piece of construction from an engineering standpoint?
Well, the body is, really, the human body was originally planned according to the position of the structure of the bones and the arch structure of the feet and the way the pelvis is built. The human body has really been constructed to walk on, not on 2 feet, on possibly 4.
We'd look great all walking around on our hands and knees all day. Imagine crossing the street against the traffic and your hands and knees. He wants people to walk on 4 legs. I suspected you were a veterinarian. Suppose if I had a broken leg, you'd want to shoot me, huh? Now, come clean, Doc. Confess. Just what business are you in?
Still a crap at it.
Now, actually, animals have little or no foot trouble. Isn't that true?
Well, very few do.
Which animals?
Well, very few animals. Only the hard-hoofed animals, like horses, might have foot trouble.
Are they the only ones with hard hoofs?
Horses? No, there are some others. And
jackass, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Mule train. By the way, Doc, my wife's foot hurt quite a bit this morning. Could you suggest anything that might help?
Well, if you tell me where it hurts.
Well, it hurts in the seat of my pants. That's why she... I tricked you into that one. Well, you made a very interesting and instructive team, and we enjoyed having you here. Now, you're going to have a chance to make money hand over foot, Doc. You're going to play your bet your life. All you got to do is run your $20 into more than the other couples, and you get a chance at the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question later on. Fenneman's offstage to remind our listeners how much the first couple won. Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected bowl games. Bowl games. B-O-W-L. That's not the southern pronunciation. I don't want... It's not ball games. Is that clear? Is your category bowl games? Is that all right? Is that all right? Okay. Now you got $20. How much are you going to try?
$10.
Talk right up into the microphones. Because over 300 people are listening here. All right. In what city is the Sugar Bowl game played?
Sugar Bowl, New Orleans.
In New Orleans is right.
$30, Groucho.
See how easy it is? Now you got $30. Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. Now, how much of the $30 are you going to risk? Talk right
20.
Into those microphones.
$20.
$20. Mm-hmm. You've discussed this together?
Yes.
All right. Where is the Orange Bowl game played?
Miami, Florida.
Miami is right.
And now they have $50.
Now you got $50. Here's your third question. How much of the $50 are you going to try?
$30.
$30. In what city is the Shrine East-West game played?
San Francisco.
San Francisco is on the nose.
They're climbing now. They have $80.
All right, you're steaming right ahead now. Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the $80 are you going to risk? Talk up. Talk right up. Into the microphone.
She wants to bet $60.
She wants to bet $60, and how much do you want to bet?
I'd rather bet the whole $80.
You would, huh?
Okay,
you want to go whole hog?
It's his brain.
I don't want to influence you now. Okay, you're going for $80. This is your last chance to beat the other couples. In what island city is the Pineapple Bowl played?
In Honolulu, Hawaii.
Honolulu is right.
And they wind up with $160.
Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Now, pretty soon we're going to know who's going to win the chance at the $1,000 question. George, who's ahead so far?
Well, nobody's ahead so far.
Nobody's ahead so far. What kind of an answer is that?
Both the first couples have $160.
You mean they're neck and neck?
They're neck and neck.
Well, let's hope they don't do any neck and neck in here, huh?
And let's not forget that the DeSoto Plymouth secret word is still spoon. Say, Groucho, we have a surprise for you. Our final couple is an Irish war bride and her husband. And here they are, Mr. and Mrs. Wysofsky. Meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome for the DeSoto Plymouth dealers, youngsters. And if you say the secret word, you win $100 in cash instantly. Ice water in 32, huh? Used to be a Swiss bell ringer, this fellow. Welcome for the DeSoto Plymouth dealers, youngsters. And if you say the secret word, you win $100 in cash instantly. It's a common word, something you'll find around the house. Pause. Mrs. Wysofsky, you're an Irish bride?
Yes.
Wysofsky, you're one of the Notre Dame Irish, huh? Faith and begotten and Barry Fitzgerald. Sure, and it's a fine thing to be after having you here with us here tonight, huh? How's my brogue?
They don't talk that way where I come from.
They also don't talk that way where I come from. You're from Ireland? They don't talk like that? Where do they talk like that?
Well, I don't think they talk that way anywhere.
Well, I must admit, my brogue's a little rusty. Last night I had an Irish stew and somebody dropped a hot tamale in it. Joe Wysofsky, huh?
That's right.
What sort of work do you do, Joe?
I'm a mechanic with Lockheed Aircraft.
Lockheed Aircraft? What do you work on?
Constellations.
What do you mean? What part of the...
Oh, aerostructures. The structure part of the aircraft.
Any good?
Oh, it's the most nice airplane in the world.
What part of Ireland are you from, Joe?
Kewaunee.
Kewaunee, Illinois?
That's correct.
Is that near the Killarney Lakes or... It's near the Great Lakes, isn't it?
Yes, near Lake Michigan, not 135 miles.
Not near Dublin, though.
afraid not.
And what part of Ireland are you from, Phyllis?
Belfast, right? Yes.
You're from where?
Belfast.
Belfast. What's your hometown like?
Oh, it's not too big and it's not too small. And a half hour's tram ride would take you out of the time.
Take you where?
Take you out of the time.
Take you out of the town?
Yes.
Is that what you're after? How big is the population of Belfast?
Oh, about the size of Peoria, I suppose.
You measure everything by Peoria? I once worked for a brewery that had a place in Peoria. One of the more unpleasant parts of my life that I don't care to discuss here. I was fired shortly after they saw me in the brewery, huh? Are you working, Phyllis?
Yes.
Where do you work?
I work at Adel Precision Products Corporation.
Is that part of the parts for the airplane?
Yes. Hydraulic valves they make.
That's very romantic. How long have you been working there?
Oh, about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, before you married Uncle Sam here, what sort of work did you do in Belfast?
I was a stenographer for Lockheed.
How long since you've been in Belfast?
About 5 years.
You have no discernible brogue at all, do you?
Well, we don't talk the same way as they do in the South.
In the South of Ireland?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still as crazy about the South of Ireland as they always were over there in the North and South?
Well, yes.
They like each other now?
Well, yes, uh-huh.
No hoedowns there or anything? Or slug each other with shillelaghs? Do you have any little Irish males at home?
Or? No, I haven't.
Have you? How long have you been an Irish war bride, Phyllis?
Well, we were married the day after St. Patrick's Day in 1945.
Did you pick that day out particularly? Was it just a coincidence?
Well, I wanted to be married on St. Patrick's Day, but that was on a Saturday, so I'm superstitious about that. So we made it Sunday.
You wouldn't have considered Yom Kippur, huh? Joe, me lad, how long have you been married?
I got married when Phyllis did.
What were you doing in Ireland?
Well, I was an aircraft mechanic for Lockheed.
In Ireland?
Yes.
They had a factory over there?
No, we had a reassembly division there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mavourney, give me all the details. How exactly did you meet Joe?
Well, I was walking across the hangar, and I suppose he saw me because he gave him an introduction. So, however, I didn't go out with him right away. I kept him waiting about a week.
Where did he wait? In the hangar all the time? You kept him hanging fire, is that it?
Well, I tried.
And then what? What happened?
Well, finally my boss said, well, you better go out with this fellow because he's holding up the line here. I can't get any business done.
Is that true, Joe?
That's right.
You couldn't get your mind back on these assembly jobs, huh?
No, I'm afraid not.
This was the job you were interested in. Were you married in Ireland or in America?
I was married in the United States.
Why did you pick America if you were going together in Ireland?
No, Lockheed's contract with the United States government terminated, and we returned to the United States, and then I sent for Phyllis.
And Phyllis, did you encounter any red tape when you entered the United States?
No. I just had to have the usual paperwork that Joe could support me and wanted me to come here and that he would marry me when I got here.
Were you nervous? I mean.
I was nervous when I was coming here.
I mean, about whether he was going to support you or not. You knew he was going to marry you, but you weren't sure whether he was going to support you. Is that it?
That's right.
When you were courting Phyllis over in Ireland, where did you take her, Joe?
Oh, we went for an occasional walk, a show once in a while.
Well, now that you're an old married couple, where do you take her now for excitement?
Oh.
think that's the look that won her, huh? That was a real Barry Fitzgerald look, wasn't it? Where do you take it now that you're married, Joe? Don't sneak out of this. I want an answer.
Well, we still go for the occasional walk in the show once in a while.
Say, you're in a rut, aren't you? Aren't you aware of the fact that the war is over? Have you ever kissed the Blarney Stone, Phyllis?
Oh, that's in the south.
That's in the south. How do you say that? Let me hear you say south.
South.
Well, since you never kissed the Blarney Stone, would you tell me how old you are?
27.
Are you sure you haven't kissed the Blarney Stone? How old are you, Joe?
I'm 35.
Phyllis, how old do you think I am? And no flattery now.
Say about 40.
Are you sure there's no Blarney Stone in the north of Ireland? If you were a pinball machine right now, you'd light up and say tilt. Joe, you look a little more practical. How old do you think I am?
Oh, I'd say you're going on 50.
I'm going on penicillin, man. I grow my own, too. I scrape it off old moldy jokes. Well, you each made a pretty close guess, 40 and 50. That's 90. That's about right. Joe, has anything embarrassing ever happened to you?
No, not that I can say.
Uh-huh. Well, Phyllis, as a war bride, what's been the most unusual experience you've had?
Well, I have been asked if the pigs sleep under the bed in Ireland.
The pigs sleep where? In the beds?
Under the bed.
Onto the bed.
Under the bed in Ireland.
What do you mean? You tie him on the back?
Under.
Oh, under the bed, huh?
Yes.
Do any pigs sleep under the bed in Ireland?
Yes.
They do.
Yes, if they're pets, they sleep in the bed. We sleep under the bed.
Oh. Well, they just go whole hog over there. No pig ever slept under my bed. I don't even allow him in the house. How does the life of a housewife here compare with that of a housewife in Ireland?
Oh, it's much easier here.
In what way?
Well, you have your automatic washing machine and your toasters and coffee makers. And at home, you have to do all that by hand.
And that's the pig besides. Do you have any particular dislikes about this country? Speak frankly. Nobody's listening.
No, I think it's wonderful.
Nothing, everything satisfies you?
Yes.
It's nice to hear that. Do you like our cozy little supermarkets?
Yes. Their prices are a little bit high, though.
But you don't dislike anything over here, huh? How do you like our modern homes? Cute little rooms and great big mortgages.
Well, the price that you pay for an apartment here, you get a castle in Ireland for it.
But you don't dislike anything. How about you, Joe? Do you agree with her complaint?
Yes, I do.
Well, let's see what you know about prices. Coffee, for example, has gone up. How much do you pay for coffee, Joe?
Well, we used to be able to get a cup of coffee for a nickel, but now it costs a dime.
You got a pretty good business there, Phyllis. How much are you charging for the second cup? Now, before you met Joe here, how many nice Irish bucks were you engaged to, Phyllis?
None.
Why not an attractive Colleen like you?
I was too young.
Yeah. How old were you when you met Joe?
Oh, about 24.
Well, you aged overnight then, huh? In Ireland, the girls don't get engaged, I suppose, until they're around 23, 24, eh?
That's right.
And how long do the engagements usually last?
About 3 or 4 years.
Takes 4 years for a boy and girl to get acquainted in Ireland? It's obvious they don't have drive-in theaters over there. Over here, they have 10-minute intermissions at the drive-in so the kids can get married. Well, this has been inspiring having you here tonight, Erin Gobry, as we Celts always say. Now, you're going to play the DeSoto Plymouth game, you bet your life. If you beat our other two couples, you'll get a crack at the $1,000 question. I can't tell you how much they won, but George is offstage to remind our listeners. Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected capitals of states as your category. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right, you've got $20. How much are you going to try? How much are you going to bet?
$10.
$10. What is the capital city of Colorado?
Denver.
Denver is correct.
And they're on their way with $30, Groucho.
Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. How much of the theta are you going to try? Talk right up, Joe.
25.
You're out of that hanger now. Talk right up.
20.
$20. Okay. What is the capital city of Nebraska?
Lincoln.
Lincoln is correct.
They're climbing. They have $50.
All right, you got $50. Here's your third question. How much of the 50 are you going to risk?
$40.
What is the capital city of Virginia?
Richmond.
Richmond is right.
They're really on their way now. They have $90.
Well, you're zooming along. You got $90. How much are you going to try?
80.
We'll try 80.
You're going to try $80. Okay. What is the capital city of New York?
Albany.
Albany is right.
And they wind up with $170. And that means that the Irish couple get the chance at the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question. It's new. It's beautifully new. It's packed with value and ready to prove it. Yes, that's the beautiful new Plymouth. Now, more than ever, the car that likes to be compared. Drive it. Give it the toughest test you can think of, uphill and through traffic. Let your DeSoto Plymouth dealer arrange a demonstration ride tomorrow. Then compare. Compare the value in this beautifully new Plymouth with that in other leading low-priced cars. Check the convenience of Plymouth's ignition key starting, the lively power of the high-compression engine, the soft velvet stops of Safeguard hydraulic brakes, the protection of safety rim wheels, and many other exclusive Plymouth features. Yes, check and compare. For beauty, for room, for riding comfort. Now, more than ever, the new Plymouth is the car that likes to be compared. The car that's packed with value and ready to prove it. This beautiful new Plymouth, the American Beauty, is on display at all authorized DeSoto Plymouth dealers. And here's the Irish war bride and her husband, all ready for the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question, Groucho.
All right, here we go for $1,000. Ready? I'll give you 15 seconds to decide on one single answer between you, so think carefully and please, no help from the audience. Here it is. The Star Spangled Banner was written in 1814 and became our official national anthem in 1931. Before the Star Spangled Banner was written, what song was considered the national anthem of the United States? Okay, what's the answer you two have decided upon?
I'm afraid I can't answer.
I'm sorry. The correct answer is Hail Columbia. So that means the big question next week will be worth $1,500. Well, you lost the big money, but you won $170 in the quiz. Plus $100 for saying the secret word, no? Congratulations and thanks to both of you.
Bet Your Life is a John Goodell production, transcribed from Hollywood, directed by Bob Dwan and Bernie Smith. Music by Jerry Fielding. Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at this time for the Groucho Marx Show, You'll Bet Your Life. Presented by the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers of America. And remember, all dealers who sell DeSoto also sell Plymouth. Two great cars, both products of the Chrysler Corporation. And don't forget, next week's big question will be worth $1,500.
Well, it's time for Bing Crosby, so good night, folks, and remember, just be sure to see your DeSoto Plymouth dealer.
Here's
Here's a tip from the National Safety Council. It's good to be on time, but it's better to be safe. This is George Fenneman signing off for the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers from coast to coast.